I did see an oddly sad thing the other, just a moment ago. I was throwing a wrapper away, and in that trash can, there's an umbrella tossed in there. I feel so bad. For whoever lost that umbrella, I feel bad because it probably flipped inside out.
Oh, yeah. That was a casualty.
R.I.P.
It was a casualty.
R.I.P. So make sure to bring your umbrella if you are coming out here today. I mean, this just means the guys are going to practice a little bit harder, right? Because they're not going to be sweating. They're not going to be exhausted as quickly.
It's going to be entertaining. I will say that. I mean, look, there's a reason that there are still fans rolling into the gate because you will have practice. I told you guys earlier when we started the show, they will practice in this stuff. And this is the perfect weather. This right here is the perfect weather for football practice to be in rain.
This is one of those days where I wish they were going to the ground. I just love to see someone make a diving catch and then like the water go up and they just slide like 5 more yards.
There would definitely have to be a splash zone if they were going to the ground today. So over the weekend at training camp, defense had a really good weekend. So Zach Robinson did a presser and was kind of talking about that over the weekend, about how the defense won today, but it's good for Michael Penix.
I think today, overall as an offense, the defense definitely got the better of us. But it's been a great start for Mike. Great start with, you know, the receivers. We're missing Mooney a little bit, but the other guys are stepping up and they're doing a great job. Offensive line, pass protection, run game, they're doing their part. So I'm really pleased with where Mike's at. You know, we had a good situation that came up yesterday, and you know, through an interception, his first one at camp, and kind of a, you know, ozone type of situation, we call it. And so those are the, you know, the things that the more situations we can put him in to simulate the games, knowing he's only played 3 games, but he's got so much experience that even the conversations that him and I have after a series, he sees the game so well, and he's just incredibly intelligent in that regard.
It's just, there's so many different, like we talked about, so many different nuances and caveats to these periods out here at practice. And I believe Zach Robinson when he talks about Michael Penix. And I think he understands that he has 2 quality quarterbacks on hand and that can play the game at a very high level. And you never know. We talked about it earlier. You never know what's being asked of Michael Penix in these different conversations, these different period of practice, different drills, third down, red zone, move the ball, 11 v 11, good v good, inside run, things like that. And they kind of talked about it a little bit. They don't do as much 7-on-7. A lot of their passing stuff is 11-on-11, moving around the pocket and being able to deliver the ball in those tight windows. So I think he's spot on kind of with the diagnosis about Michael Penix that, hey, there's going to be hiccups along the way, but overall he's been pretty good so far this camp.
Yeah, I think it's hard to fully – understand what you're seeing at times at camp, but it's one of those deals where watch the little things, you know, or like little wins, right? I mean, you know, a guy makes a good catch, it's a good catch no matter what, right? I mean, a guy makes a read, steps in front of a receiver and intercepts something, that's good. Now, was the ball asked to be forced in that spot to see if the guy, you know, I think we don't understand. And I say we as, like, you know, fans don't always understand what the coaches are absolutely doing. There was a play, and I know we got into the cup, but there was a play a few years ago, 2016, and Austin Hooper was a rookie. And Matt Ryan throws a pass, and it's Kyle Shanahan stepped up and intercepted it. Kyle, the coach, the offensive coordinator, intercepts it. And it went viral, thanks to Knox Bardeen, but it went viral. And everyone was like, Matt Ryan sucks. And in reality, it was a route that Austin Hooper didn't run right. He ran it too shallow, which is why too deep, and didn't, and that's why it actually got picked off, because Kyle Shanahan stepped where it was supposed to be, where the pass was thrown, where it was supposed to be. And it was a teaching moment. And everybody that watched it, when it viral, was like, coach so upset with Matt Ryan intercepts him or something. Like it was just like all about Matt, and it wasn't.
Well, yeah. And going back to Michael Penix and some of the rumblings that have gone on around him, Zach Robinson also talked about how he's never agreed with the notion that he is inaccurate.
Sure, yeah. I think there was, you know, I didn't feel personally like the completion percentage, you know, in a small 3-game sample size, the box score stats, as we know, can be a little bit misleading. We know he's going to be aggressive throwing the ball down the field. We've had some intentionally scripted days where we're trying to throw some underneath stuff just to kind of get some of that game going, because I know he's going to be aggressive on game day, and that's what we want. But that stuff will take care of itself. I think the camaraderie that he has with the receivers right now, with Ray, he's had a great camp.
camp. Obviously, Drake, he's made a ton of plays. We've been able to get some shots down the field. Bijan's, you know, doing a great job in the pass game as well. So they'll continue to grow. We still got, you know, over a month before the first game, and it's cool to see where we're at now with those guys, and as opposed to, you know, he got thrown in that first week and he had never thrown a routes on air rep to Mooney, and they were able to make some things happen. But to go back to your question, I think it's just going to naturally take care of itself. That's where I can help out with play calls, trying to get some underneath stuff that can kind of get him in a rhythm.
It's just, it's so frustrating, again, to look on Twitter and see, hey, he's 8 of 20 today. You have no idea what the nuance of the situation is. Is it 2 minute? Are they saying, hey, basically don't swallow the ball? Are they working on 2-point conversions? You know what I mean? Like, you don't ever know what's being asked. We never know if it's fourth down. We never know if it's, you know, third down situations. And so Zach Robinson speaking right there is just basically saying, hey, we're putting him up to bat at times, saying there's no reason to throw this ball away or to tuck it and run it. Make sure you're putting these guys in situations on these crossing routes to allow them to win or no one to win. So when you do see an incompletion, it's like, yeah, I mean, maybe it was, but, you know, you don't know what's in his ear and what's being said.
As long as he doesn't get lost in these moments and doesn't forget, hey, in a game, throw this away. I don't care if he throws 20 interceptions in a practice or, you know, he forces a bunch of balls in. As long as he never loses that, and I think probably that's an instinctual thing that he's already got to not throw the ball in there, right? I mean, it's not kind of his MO.
Sure.
So as long as he doesn't lose that, I don't care. They've got to work. They've got to get the DBs practice too. They got to get everybody reps. They got to get everybody comfortable doing things and trying to fight for contested balls. And you got to make contested catches sometimes in the NFL. If it's third and if it's fourth down and the game's on the line, don't throw the damn ball away. You need to have practice
exactly.
In that moment.
Exactly. And there's a good chance that a lot of the things that have happened in these situations are just, like I said, is situational. You're not going out there in a game and just playing first, second, third, and fourth down like you would normally. At most times in practice, it's not like that. So it kind of is what it is in terms of the old 8 of 20 or whatever it may come out as on Twitter.
All right, Dylan.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by Baron Burton's W Sauce and New Realm Brewing Company, official craft beer partner for Kennesaw State Athletics.
Yep, Baron Burton's W Sauce, the Fireshire, what's it? No, I was actually saying breakfast sauce. Breakfast sauce, too. I had a buddy of mine, Domer, hit me up. Like, hey, man, I got to get some of that breakfast sauce, too. I'm like, dude, go to Publix. Go online, wsauce.com.
I have no insight. Or go to the store.
Or maybe I have some for you. You never know, because he's a buddy of ours. But so I got to mention this real quick because it's just one hit. But today is the return of the new King of the Hill. So they're bringing back King of the
wow.
Hill. And everybody's aged. They aged everybody. Something that, like, cartoons or, you know, animated series never really do is age people. They've aged everybody. And so I cannot wait to watch that because I've been you know, just watching it here and there, the old reruns. But I walk in the room and Amy's watching this TV show on the Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it's very raunchy.
Risque.
Raunchy.
Okay.
A little bit. I mean,
wow.
I guess risque, but like.
That's a whole other level up from risque.
Well, it's. And I'm going to get into this. This show is called Hunting Wives.
I've heard a lot about this
and
show.
So I go, what are you watching? Because there's a scene on, and she's like, oh, well, you'd probably like this.
And it's, oh, wow.
It's kind of
wow.
like. It's
she
got a very.
You out.
It's basically like Desperate Housewives meets Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And it's not in medieval times, but
okay.
think about the sex scenes in Game of Thrones early in it.
They were raunchy.
Yeah. And put that to Desperate Housewives type storylines with like housewives and everything. So I'm 3 episodes in. And this has got everything, man. I mean, affairs, murder, you know,
it's got Brittany Snow, right? Brittany Snow.
Yeah.
And
well, it's got the girl. Have you ever seen the movie Couples Retreat?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Vince Vaughn's wife in Couples
sure.
Retreat.
Yeah.
Maylin.
Yeah. She's like.
Ackerman.
She's kind of like a Tony Soprano type character where she's the anti-hero. But I mean, she's not Tony Soprano. Don't get me wrong. But she's kind of this anti-hero that, you know, you're kind of like, all right, she's cool. And, yeah, it's got Dylan. Dylan somebody.
So how many bottles of W sauce are we giving this thing?
Right now, I'm three episodes in.
Okay.
And I would say it's probably four bottles of W sauce.
Four bottles of W sauce.
It kind of grips you because there's a lot going on. And it really is gripping. I've already got a character I think I don't like, and a character I think is a complete buffoon.
Yeah.
Is there
a character you do like? Because that was my thing with White Lotus. I was like, I don't like any of them, so I'm not going to watch season two.
So, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Okay.
There's some characters I don't dislike, but they're all human, so they've got their flaws, right?
So, you were saying Dylan, though. Were you trying to say Dermot Mulroney?
Yeah, whatever his name is.
From My Best Friend's Wedding?
I thought it was Dylan McDermott, but yeah, maybe that's somebody else. Yeah, that guy, he's in it, and he kind of plays like – see, his character's even – Amy was like, yeah, he's never seen him play a bad guy. And I'm like, he's really not bad. Is he lacking morals? Yeah. But right now he's not like a
murderer. He's just
a
jerk. Yeah, he's just a jerk. He's not trying to, you know, he's not going Joker from Batman. He's just a jerk.
Like, to my knowledge, he's not a murderer. Dude, and it's so funny because it's based in Texas, and they basically base the people as one political party, and then they take shots at the other one, but it's basically a shot at that. So it's kind of funny how it's like they're – you can tell how they're doing it, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. But, yeah, it's got everything in it. So I'm three episodes in. I don't know how many episodes there are, but I'm very interested to finish it.
Will you try to watch this, like finish it, with your wife?
No, she's way ahead of me. She's probably – I'm like three episodes in. She's at least –
watching the raunchy show by himself then.
Well, she started it.
No, man.
She started it by herself.
It's going to look weird when she walks in and you're watching the raunchiness by yourself.
No, I purposely watched it when she was asleep yesterday morning. I was like, I don't want to get caught watching it. I did. I'm not going to lie.
It's about like your wife finding your algorithm on your search screen on Instagram. You don't ever want that.
It did feel dirty watching it. I'm not going to lie. Because Amy was like, oh, you like it. It's raunchy. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll turn it on.
This is probably a good note for us to get out of here.
No doubt.
Wait, is that something upstairs? I better pause this.
For Mike, Bo, Dylan, Gordon, myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next. Steak and Mike are going to brave the weather out here. Next, from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay dry, Atlanta.
Stay warm.